Imagine loving your life after 50 and feeling energized and excited about your future. Welcome to the Women in the Middle podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to figure out what they want and create the life they deserve. Here's your host and master certified life coach, Susie Rosenstein.
Hey there, in today's episode, we're talking about when random aches and pains freak you out with worry in midlife. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, Women in the Middle, with over 1 million downloads and counting. I'm your host, Susie Rosenstein, your master certified coach and midlife mentor, and I am so glad to be here with you again. Now, this week, I'm sharing a topic I've been dealing with lately, and then sure enough, someone else in my Women in the Middle Academy coaching group shared the same thing. When that happened, I knew I wanted to talk to you about it too. So, my friend, I have a feeling this topic just may resonate. And like me, you'll soon see that if you're feeling a little freaked out lately by your body, you are not the only one. Let's do what we do and put the spotlight on hidden weird thoughts that you like to think that just don't help you out in your life. They get in the way of you showing up as the awesome midlife gal that you are. So, just quick, I want to make sure you know about how you can stop wasting valuable time feeling stuck and do something about it. It is so frustrating when you know you're meant for more, but are just spinning and wondering when something is going to change. That was me. I totally get it. So here's the thing. I can totally help you get unstuck, but you just can't sit there waiting for something amazing to happen in your life. You have to do something. That is exactly why I created the Women in the Middle Academy, to help you get unstuck and excited about your life again. When we work together in the Women in the Middle Academy, you will learn how to create a roadmap to a meaningful, regret-free next chapter, and you'll have fun doing it. So if you're ready to change your life and learn the skills to unstick yourself with some masterful coaching, a top-notch curriculum, an infusion of creativity, and a warm, fun, and awesome community of like-minded women, then let's talk about it. I would love to be able to help you get unstuck and be happier than ever before. One thing's for sure. If you don't do something different, nothing will change. If you want to make sure that you're on the path to the other side of stuck, take the first step and book your free, no-obligation momentum call at www.womeninthemiddleacademy.com, and we'll chat and see if the academy is a good fit for you. Okay, now, quick note about this episode. I just want to clarify that the information shared in this podcast is intended for your convenience, entertainment, and education, and isn't geared to your personal situation. It's not a replacement for care or advice from your own medical professional. So as always, you may have some things you want to follow up on, so please seek a suitable professional to advise you on your personal situation. Okay, now let's dive into this week's episode, which is all about when random aches and pains in midlife freak you out with worry. Is this you? Maybe you woke up with a weird little pain. Or maybe you noticed something achy that wasn't achy before. Or maybe you went totally blank and forgot something, like somebody's name or the name of a thing out of the blue. Next thing you know, you're worried. You start to spin on worst-case scenarios, and ultimately, you might even start worrying that this is it. You're going to die. Are we having fun yet? My amazing woman in the middle, you are not alone. Anxiety can be a thing in midlife. Anxiety can be a thing in menopause. Worrying about stuff seems to loom even larger when you're on the other side of 50. And specifically, health-related worry and anxiety can be a thing. Now, I am not a clinician. You know that. This episode isn't about assessing or labeling your ailment or your anxiety. So I highly encourage you to seek out a health professional to discuss the specifics of anything that's freaking you out. The reason I wanted to do this episode is because I'm a midlife transition coach. I focus on how you can increase your mindfulness skills at this age and stage of your life so that you have greater perspective and greater ability to manage your thoughts and feelings so that you can become the queen of your brain domain so that you can be more intentional about your life overall. Personally, I have noticed great improvements with my own ability to manage my mind around anxiety and worry over the last 10 years. Since I've been doing this work, and I got laid off the year I turned 50, so it's been 10 years. And since I turned 60, I've noticed that I have to up my mindfulness game when it comes to worrying about every single ache and pain that I'm noticing these days. Oh my gosh. So I thought you might be able to identify with some of these mental shenanigans too. Now that I've set the stage, let's talk about some of the common types of health-related concerns. Now, I see it this way. Sometimes you worry about stuff that's not based on much. Sometimes you worry about stuff that's based on something like a diagnosis or a test result. Different situations. But you're thinking in a way that is causing worry in all of those situations. Now, as an older and wiser woman, you have lots of experience with each of these scenarios. You've experienced a lot of life by this point, and there is no shortage of things to worry about. It's not just your health. You can go crazy with worry these days. You can worry about your people, that is, your kids, your partner, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your friends. You can worry about your relationships, your career, finances, your plans, your regrets, and the environment, and what's going on in the world. There's no shortage of things to worry about, and so on and so on. There are just so many things. But when it comes to your health, there's another little wrinkle, and it's not what's on your face. It's the sometimes surprising deterioration of your body. Now, I know that might sound a little extreme, but I'll never forget the shock I once had when I went to my doctor for a routine physical during perimenopause. So it was a while ago, maybe 10 or 12 years ago. I was sitting in the examining room in my paper gown, looking around the room at the women's health posters that were all over the walls, while waiting for her return. There was one huge poster that caught my eye. It was the one with the big vagina illustration on it. I thought, let's see what's going on down there. Well, I started reading, and to my shock and horror, the poster identified something called vaginal atrophy. Vaginal atrophy! What atrophy? Well, until that moment, it never occurred to me that that part of my body could be wasting away or degenerating. I didn't think of physical aging that way. So now that I'm older, I'm noticing these weird little surprises that feel like degeneration or deterioration. Some things in my body might be coming progressively worse. Like, that's the idea. And again, I'm pretty cool with the whole aging thing, as you know. I love being Susie Sunshine and looking at this phase of life as the glass is half full, which is really who I am, while also recognizing, though, that there are some pretty difficult phases of midlife as well. Like, we don't water that down around here at the Women in the Middle. We don't. But what is with these weird physical surprises that are not injury-based? Right? It's so weird to get hurt without being obviously injured. Back in the day, the first time I really got injured like this, it was a toboggan accident at university. I was 19. I was in the middle of a three-person wooden toboggan. You know those flat wooden toboggans that are curled up at the front? And I was in the middle, and I was laughing my head off. We were all laughing, flying down a hill until we were airborne and landed with a big thud and the crack of two of my ribs. Yes, a severely bruised tailbone and fractured ribs. Ugh, such a loud crack. I couldn't breathe. It was so scary, and it took more than a few weeks. It took about a year to recover from that. And to this day, it's still my weak link. Like, if I'm going to get a sore back, that's where it's going to be. Now, that's typical. You get injured, you get a diagnosis, you get treatment, you hopefully recover. But now, when you're older, sometimes it seems like you can just be doing nothing remarkable, and still get hurt. The first example of this that I noticed was when I was driving a 500-mile road trip last year, just sitting there in the car driving, and ended up with a lot of pain in my lower back and my bum. And I shared this on an earlier episode. Yes, I was driving. I guess that was the thing I was doing, but it seemed passive to me, not active. Not like whiplash from a car accident or cracked ribs from a toboggan crash. That was the first time for me, and just recently I was sitting at my desk working away, and I got up and started walking and almost fell over from new foot pain that seemed to have come out of nowhere. Like, major pain. I was seriously hobbling and everything. I couldn't walk. Like, it was bad. My friends have also shared these kinds of stories. So did my mom. I remember once when she was drying her hair and ended up with major neck injury. She was probably my age when it happened. So you're just living your life, doing the things you normally do, and then some weird physical thing happens that doesn't make your life more fun. Are you with me? So, just a couple of examples, but I think you get what I mean. I wanted to raise your awareness to this first category of worry, and it's what I'm calling mystery aches and pain worry. So these are things to worry about that are not based on receiving a label or hearing a fact or a diagnosis about what you're experiencing from a healthcare person. Of course, it's a fact. It's real when you're experiencing the pain, like I experienced the pain in my back when I was sitting and driving, or I totally experienced the foot pain when I was just sitting, felt a ton of foot pain, but I didn't get a diagnosis. It's just something that happened. And immediately I chose to worry. Can you relate to this? You might ask yourself questions like this and maybe start to freak yourself out. Like, what if it's a bigger problem? What if it affects my mobility? What if it gets worse? What if this is the new normal? And the big one, what if I can't recover and this is the beginning of the end? Ugh. Now, I know when you ask yourself a question, the answer, the way you answer it is what you're actually thinking. So when I ask myself, what if it's a bigger problem? I might answer, oh my God, it's a bigger problem. Or what if it gets worse? I might actually be thinking, I'm really afraid it's going to be worse, or it's probably going to get worse. You know what I mean? So when you ask yourself a question, the answer, the way you answer it is what you're thinking. Now, as I mentioned, with all of this work I've been doing for 10 years, I no longer spin out uncontrollably when I start to worry. I can see what's going on and I can dial it in. And we're going to talk more about how to manage your mind with this sort of thing in a few minutes. But this is one kind of category of worry that I've noticed more and more of with myself and in my community. Okay, now another example that's related to this is when you have an ache or pain, or maybe notice something on your body that you are quite concerned about. Let's call this, what is this worry? What is this? You've taken to Google and you're convinced it's something big, like heart disease or cancer or something like that. Now, this worry is also based on what you're noticing. So you are noticing things. You are connected. You are observing what's happening. But the thing is, you still don't have a diagnosis. You're at the stage of worry without consulting a medical professional, and you may not be the queen of your brain domain just yet, so the worry can take over. Either way, you can learn to manage your thoughts better because you are probably aware your thoughts are creating your emotions, which are likely worry, concern, anxiousness, or fear, that kind of thing. These are the emotions that are very common related to worry and freaking yourself out in this way. Now, as we're getting into this topic, you can see that worry is always available to you as an option. Many of us seem to find it an attractive option too. We like gravitate to it. Now, that may sound weird, but when you appreciate and learn how to think on purpose, it becomes more clear that you have options and choices like this. Being more intentional means more thinking on purpose to create the emotional outcomes and overall results that you want. This doesn't mean wiping out all negative feelings. That's not what it means. But it does mean that you can think about the experience that you want for yourself on purpose. Lots of times negative emotions are quite appropriate and useful for you. Like if you're sad for a friend because she's going through a hard time, or a loved one has passed and you're grieving, negative emotions are quite appropriate. Another example is anger. Sometimes you like your reasons for feeling angry or frustrated or even disappointed. But when the negative emotions aren't useful for you, that's another story. When your negative feelings aren't supporting you in a way that helps you focus on your goals or helps you be intentional, that's different. That is different. And for now, just recognize that there is likely some worry-related wiggle room around situations like these when there's something going on in your body that may or may not be anything to worry about, but you choose to worry at this early stage. Now, here's another one that's pretty common. I'm calling it anticipatory worry. This is when you worry ahead of time related to doctor appointments. For example, you want to be responsible about your doctor appointments and your health, but you're afraid that they will find something. So you delay making your appointment. Has this happened to you? Or maybe you finally scheduled your doctor appointment and went for your checkup or routine screening, like your mammogram or your colonoscopy, or just your annual physical and you had some blood work, and now that you're older, you start to freak out or get nervous that there might be bad news. So you pat yourself on your back for making your appointment and going, but then you are super worried about the next step, the results. Sometimes you don't even know how worried you are until you walk out of the building or have a quiet moment in your car. You might notice that you breathe a sigh of relief but start spinning about the what ifs. And you might even feel the need to reward yourself for pushing through your worry and fear and getting through the appointment. Donuts, anyone? I have caught myself really craving a donut after I accomplish one of these kinds of appointments. So this is the kind of thing I'm hearing more and more of, and I'm just wondering where you're at on this topic. Again, more fun times. Now, of course, there are more health-related things that are common to worry about too. As I mentioned earlier, there's no shortage of things to worry about. Like when you're being responsible about careful observation of your body and you notice something that you think you really want to follow up on because you know something about it and you know it's important to see a doctor. And then if you're dealing with a specific diagnosis that requires treatment, you would likely be dealing with a flood of emotions that include worry. And I don't want to focus on these kinds of things in this podcast right now, in this episode, but understanding and becoming more mindful of your thinking and how it relates to your emotions is completely relevant and useful for these examples too. So to review, the types of worry highlighted in this episode are what I'm calling mysterious aches and pain worry, what is this worry, and anticipatory worry with doctor appointments. Now, I just wanted you to appreciate that something all of this stuff has in common when it comes to freaking yourself out with health-related worry is that you have some mindset options that may affect your experience of dealing with what's going on. Understanding your emotional options may be useful for you. It can feel amazingly empowering. A quote I heard years ago is that worry pretends to be necessary. I was floored when I heard this because it feels so necessary. And when I dug into this topic on a deeper level, I noticed that I believed that my worry could actually affect the outcome. That's why it feels so necessary. Now, this was news to me. It really was. It was kind of like believing that worrying was going to affect the outcome in a positive way. That if you don't worry, you're not doing what you can to affect the outcome, to improve the outcome. Do your time with worry, and at least you're doing something helpful, which makes no sense at all. But that's what I was thinking, and that's why worry can feel necessary. So really check in with yourself about what you think there is to gain from worrying. When you fully appreciate that worry is a feeling and that your thinking creates your feelings, the light bulb starts to go off that you can manage your emotional experience more than you may have imagined. So in the nutshell, here are 5 steps to supervising your brain when you are up to your ears in worry and perhaps even freaking out a little bit, or maybe a lot, about aches, pains, and your health. So first, start by being the watcher of your thoughts. Now, this means creating a bit of distance based on the knowledge that you are not your thoughts. You have the ability to see your thoughts, which means to be aware of your thoughts, to catch your thoughts, but not be at the effect of them. You can see them there. You know what you're thinking. You have the awareness that they're there. You know they're creating your feelings, but you don't need to be afraid of them or feel helpless. You can be curious that you're thinking them. You can show yourself some compassion because you're freaking yourself out, but you don't need to be at the effect of them. This skill is so important. So with the weird surprise ailments that pop up, the ones that you start to spin on, the worst case scenarios about, you can just notice what you're thinking. So when I do this sort of thing, I'm like, oh, wow, I see that I'm thinking this, that this might be the beginning of the end, for example, because I felt that weird twinge. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I see that I'm thinking that because I felt this thing or I saw this thing. And when I think this way, I feel scared and I start to worry. Aw, I see that I'm scaring myself. I could probably take care of myself right now. You see what I mean? So I know it sounds silly that you're just talking to yourself, but I actually say it out loud. It's like, aw, and I see what's happening and I want to take care of myself. So that's the first thing. Be really aware of what's going on. Become the watcher of your thoughts. So here's the second thing. Decide how to take care of yourself when you feel like this. Do you want to journal how you're feeling? Do you want to get it all out? Do you want to take some notes of the dates and times you're experiencing the weird aches or pain? Do you want to research it a bit on Google? How about doing some deep breathing or taking a walk? Do you want to book an appointment with your healthcare provider? Taking action and getting clear on what you can do can really help you when you're worried. Here's the third thing. Decide how you want to feel on purpose. This means actually thinking about the emotional experience that you want. Do you want to feel confident, safe, resourceful, calm, relaxed? It doesn't really matter what you want to feel. It matters that you think about it and acknowledge it because you can feel on purpose. Okay, and here's the fourth thing. Figure out the thought you would need to think to create that feeling, the one that you want to feel on purpose. What would you have to think to feel calm, for example? If you want to feel resourceful, what would you have to think to create that feeling for yourself? One thought that I always have in my back pocket is that I know I have access to smart doctors who will help me. I know I will have access to smart doctors who will help me. That thought really helped me get through a 3-week waiting period years ago for a test result. This thought really, really helped me. And here's another one that helped me during the pandemic. Everything is okay now. So it's important to try thoughts on for size and see if they create the feelings you want to be experiencing during the time that you're worrying. And here's the fifth thing. Practice thinking the thought that you came up with. This is how you supervise your brain. You gotta notice what's going on. Decide if it's what you want, correct the thought if it's not useful for you, and then practice your useful thought. So you might need to use stickies, you might need to program it into your phone, you might need to write it into your day timer or journal about it to get it to stick, but you want to have it at the ready. I think about thoughts being in a pink tool belt. I actually won a pink tool belt once at a networking event. And it's been great because it really helps me think, oh yeah, practice the thought, have them in your tool belt so that when you want it, you know exactly where it is, you know how to access your thought. You don't really need to be walking around with a pink tool belt, but you can have it at the ready. You want to practice the useful thought, which means it needs to be top of mind. That is how you learn to think on purpose. So there you have it, a simple plan to help you supervise your brain so that you can worry less. You can freak yourself out less. Of course, there's nothing terribly wrong with an occasional freak out, but there are definitely ways to freak out less. I have to say, since I've become a midlife transition coach, I've seen firsthand how empowering the mindfulness strategies that I teach my clients can be. And when you look at all of this through the lens of aging, these tips can really change your life. And this means you can really change your life and be way more intentional about this and about all kinds of things. And remember, you always have the option to reach out to your healthcare provider to get things checked out. And you can always reach out to me to increase your mindfulness skills and become the queen of your brain domain. Okay, that's it for this episode. As you know, this podcast is all about how to love your life again after 50. It is really about coaching you to become more intentional and to incorporate mindfulness into your life as a regular practice. This is how you put yourself on your agenda. My focus as your midlife coach is to help you get unstuck, clear, and focused on your current values and priorities so you don't have regrets. I can help you create the success you're looking for. Seriously, if you're ready to change your life and learn the skills to unstick yourself with some masterful coaching, a top-notch curriculum, an infusion of creativity and a warm, fun, and awesome community of like-minded women, let's talk about it. I would love to be able to help you get unstuck and be happier and more fulfilled than ever before. Go ahead and book your momentum call. at www.womeninthemiddleacademy.com, and we will chat about it. I'm also excited to invite you to download a copy of Top 10 Tips to Reimagine Your Life After 50. It's free and it's super useful when you're looking for some journal prompts to start thinking about who you are, what you want, and what's really possible. Head over to www.susierosenstein.com/10 questions. And that's the number 10 questions. And finally, for show notes and links, head over to www.susierosenstein.com and click the podcast tab and look for episode 354. You'll also see links there for the new show, Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs. Thanks so much for listening. It's time for you to put yourself first, one thought at a time. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you next week.